as we wrap up the book of Ephesians today from chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's look to God as we come to the Word. Thank you, Lord, for your Word that you've revealed to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that not only prays with us and through us, but illuminates our minds to know you. And so help us now to know you, to understand in our hearts, in our minds, to receive your power, to live according to what you call us to. Amen. When our oldest son, Dave, was a senior in high school, which was a few years ago, he, for his senior prom, we decided to let him use our new Honda Accord to take his date to the prom. You know, really a treat and stuff. But knowing my son Dave and knowing that he probably didn't quite fully grasp the value of what he was going to be driving, I had a little talk with him before he left, and of course, what do you think I said? Dave, this is a very valuable car. We're just excited that you can use it, but please, take care of it, right? And maybe you've had experience like that in some way, and I think this is, in a very real sense, what Paul is getting to as he wraps up this letter. Because our text is beginning with the word basically finally. In light of all of this, because of what God's done for you in Christ is so incredibly valuable. Since God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, made us spiritually alive and united us with one another, so that we can be his new race of peacemakers in a broken world who build his church through his grace and love. And because we are his light amidst the darkness and how we live together, finally then, take good care of what's been entrusted to you. Let me just read the first few verses again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to remain standing. Finally, what's been entrusted to you is so valuable. Be careful to take good care of it. Whether we realize it or not, we are part of the most important enterprise in all the cosmos, in whatever exists out there in all the universes. And because of that, all the forces of evil are arrayed against us. And this is what Paul is reminding us of and making us aware of. This isn't a human battle. We stand against Satan's schemes and all the spiritual forces of evil who are trying to stop the work of Christ. And they're doing that by deceiving or intimidating God's people into apathy or inaction. And we can see the struggles and the divisions in the church that we justify in all the busyness and distraction, in the way the church is declining in North America. Folks, there is a spiritual battle raging around us, and you are a target. How's that for encouragement, huh? Good morning. But I want you to notice that Paul doesn't mince words. He gets right to it. I mean, it seems like a complete shift of pace, because all of what he's talked about is how much God has blessed and how much God has loved us and how much he has entrusted to us. But now Paul says, this is serious and it's urgent. So our passage then is full of commands. Verse 10, be strong. Verse 11, put on the full armor. Verse 13, put on the full armor. Verse 14, stand firm. So he is exhorting, he is commanding, he is encouraging. Stand the ground that God has already given you. And what's assumed here is that we need God's power to stand against God's enemies. The initial command is passive, though it doesn't come across this way in the English. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, verse 10, is literally be continually strengthened in the Lord or by the Lord and in his mighty power. Be continually strengthened. Be continually receiving the mighty power of God so that you can stand. And this is quite different than my normal mode, which may be your normal mode, which is trying to live out what I believe with my own limited strength and ability. I can do this. I'm going to live for God today. Doesn't usually go too well. I mean, when you think about it, no matter how nice a car is, it's completely worthless unless you have fuel in the tank to power it. And no matter what we believe and how strongly we believe or how deep our convictions are, those are completely worthless unless we have the power of God to be able to live them out. Now, what Paul points out here is that God's mighty power is found in the armor of God, or the armor that God provides, which we then, God provides the power, but we must put it on. We must take it up. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. So it's assumed here that without the mighty power of God, without this armor that protects us, we cannot stand against the schemes of the enemy. And so if we're passively involved in our spiritual lives, if we're not intentionally putting on the armor of God, intentionally living and receiving the power of God in which we live, then we are being deceived and carried away. You see the assumption he makes here? Either you're living in the power of God, protected with his armor, or you're being deceived and carried away. Some of you know that I'm from California, and one of the rumors I want to destroy today is that all Californians surf. I do not. But having lived in San Diego for quite a while and spent a lot of time there, I did enjoy boogie boarding, which is just this little board, and you get out there. It's kind of, for people who can't surf, you ride the waves laying on this little board. And so as our kids got older especially, we spent hours and hours out in the water boogie boarding. Now, one thing, though, that you realize and that you learn as you do this is that there's always a current moving down the beach. Now, we get deceived because the waves are coming in this way, but there's always a current moving down the beach. And so if you're not aware of that, what happens is you're just having a great time in the waves and going in, coming out, going in, coming out. And pretty soon you look up at the beach and you have no idea where you are. Because you've been so distracted, so caught up in the boogie boarding, you got swept away by the current right down the beach. And so the only way to stay firm in where you are on the beach is to notice, to realize there's a current here, and I must be able to swim against or stand against that current if I'm not going to be swept and carried away. And I think this is the image Paul is giving us. There is a current that is going to sweep you away from the purpose God created you for. It is always there, always pulling at you. And if you're not intentionally resisting, if you're not aware that that is happening, then you are going to be carried away from the purpose God created you for. There's no in-between. So stand, put on the full armor of God, live in the mighty power of God. I think another great example of this in our day and age is fake news. It's a thing. Have you heard of it? Now, the problem with deception is that it's deceptive. You can quote me on that. So fake news, news stories that are broadcast, that if we don't check our sources, we start to believe it. And if we start believing it, then what do? We start repeating it or reposting it. And pretty soon it gets spread everywhere. And people begin to act on what they believe to be true. One example of this, I'm sure there are many of them, but you may have heard back in the end of last year, there was this fake story going on about a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C., and it was called Comet Ping Pong Pizza. It's a great name. And there was the story was about Hillary Clinton, who was operating a child sex slavery operation out of this pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. And this story got repeated all over social media. It was spread everywhere. And so what are you going to do when you hear a story like this and you believe it? You're going to get your automatic weapon, go down to the pizza parlor and put an end to it, right? Well, maybe not you, but Edgar Welch did. He got his automatic rifle, went down to from North Carolina, traveled to Washington, D.C., went to Comet Ping Pong Pizza to go in and fix this situation. Well, it wasn't real. He ended up shooting his gun in the pizza parlor. Do you remember hearing about this? Crazy. But what happens is if we believe false things, we begin to repeat it, and then we begin to act on it. And Satan's been feeding fake news to God's people from the beginning of time. He is spreading and repeating these lies over and over about who we are and what our purpose in life is and what we should be doing with our time and our priorities, sweeping God's people away from our purpose by these schemes or these currents. For example, independence. We don't need to worship with the church. We don't need to be in a small group, a pod. We don't need to be connected with God's people. I got this by myself. Even though the scriptures talks all about us being an intimate, integral part of the body of Christ. Busyness, more is better. So the more I've just got to be doing all these things. My kids have to be involved in all these things because the more, the better. Which means I don't have time to really spend time with God or be involved in the ministry because I have all these things going. Ministry, I'm not responsible for being discipled or discipling others. That Great Commission is for the pros. I mean, we could go on and on about all the fake news that is spread, and we can tell it's deception because we can read the verses in the scripture that say completely contrary things and then somehow believe it doesn't apply to us. We need God's power to stand against God's enemies. Now, I want you to note, though, that as serious as this is, the tone of this passage is very positive. There's urgency, but there's great confidence also. There's nothing to fear because what's the solution? Just put on the full armor of God. Don't be afraid. Don't run away. Don't hide. Just put on the full armor of God. And I love in verse 13 how how confident it is. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when the opposition comes, when the conflicts come, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything in response to the onslaughts, you can still be left standing. Isn't that a great image? You know, the battle scenes when all the smoke clears, the hero's still standing, right? That's what Paul's talking about. When all is said and done, you'll still be standing because you put the armor of God on. And the reason there is such confidence here is because God provides the power to his people to accomplish everything he asks us to do. The battle's been won. Christ has accomplished everything. He's provided us with every spiritual blessing in Christ if we will simply appropriate it. In fact, one of Paul's prayers here in chapter 1, verse 19, he's praying for the church. And I'm praying let me start in verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, in verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Do you hear what Paul's praying? I'm praying that you'll understand the mighty power of God that's available to you, that raised Christ from the dead, that is more powerful than anything that exists in the cosmos. He's got us covered. So we need to know, what does it mean to take up God's armor? How do we do that? What's Paul talking about here? And I want to give us a look at it because I think this is perhaps the most easy way to think about this, and that is that we stand against God's enemy by putting on our new identity. We stand against God's enemy by putting on our new identity, or putting on who we are in Christ as God's people. Intentionally taking that identity upon ourselves. See, Paul describes God's protection as the whole armor of God. A panoply is the Greek word, and it referred to the full battle array of a Roman soldier. Now, there are images in Isaiah, for example. He uses it in other books like 1 Thessalonians. But he's in prison, and so he is chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. So he might be thinking about this, right? And so what he does is he gives us an image of the various aspects of who we are in Christ, the various aspects of our identity in Christ, represented by the different pieces of armor. And so putting on the full armor of God, putting on our new identity as Christ's soldiers, is simply aligning our mind and our life with God. It's consciously putting on his truth about who we are and how we are to live. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? It's a mindset and it's a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking and it's a way of living that is our identity of who we are as God's people. So let's just look at these. Well, let me just mention this first. When we get up and start our day, who are we? Who are we when you start your day? Are you defined by a role that you fulfill, or a job that you do, or a reputation that you have? Or or the child of God that you are? See, that's what we're talking about. Who are we? And what are we living out of in the way we think and believe? So we put on God's truth as a belt. Verse 14, so stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. It was simply a girdle or a belt that held the tunic and the armor in place. And the idea is that overall we start with the truth about God and about who we are and about what we're created for. That's where we start. Overall, we cinch that up. We are people of the truth rather than the truth that's espoused by our workplace or our family or the media. Who is God and who am I? Who does he say I am? We put on God's righteousness as a breastplate. Second half of verse 14. The breastplate of righteousness in place. And we know the breastplate, you know what a breastplate is, but these breastplates are front and back. And so it's fully protecting our vital organs. And so we put on this mindset that we are right with God. There's nothing for us to be guilty about. We are right with God. He loves us. We are his beloved children. And because of that, we live without guilt. We live without shame. And we live a lifestyle of justice, of doing what's right because of who God is. We are right with God, and we do what's right in our lives. We put on God's gospel of peace as shoes, verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And this is really an awkward sentence that most people don't fully understand, but the sense of it is that soldiers wore boots that equipped them to be mobile and stable. And what grounds us, what keeps us stable and mobile, is that we are people of peace, and Paul talked all about this. We are peacemakers. And we wield this gospel of peace. We bring this gospel of peace wherever we go, which is quite different. This good news of peace, instead of the negativity and the despair that is so prevalent in our society, we bring this gospel of good news and peace in how we live and what we say. We put on God's shield of faith, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. These shields were huge. They were about 4 feet tall. And he's saying, that shield is faith. Above all or overall, we have a mindset of faith in Christ, of reliance on Christ, of dependence on Christ, which extinguishes all the doubts, all the questions, all the things that come up in us that make us wonder, is this really true? Am I truly a child? Am I really blessed? Do I really have the power of God? All these doubts and questions that come up, we keep shielding it with faith, saying, I'm relying on God for what he said. We receive God's helmet of salvation, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. We put on the assurance of our salvation, the assurance of our forgiveness, the assurance of his forgiving love in Christ, which brings confidence. I am with God forever. And finally, we receive the sword of God's word. Second half of verse 17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sharp, two-edged swords, both defensive and offensive. We have our mind filled with God's word through the Spirit that protects us, that shields us, and to fend off all the attacks, all the questions, all the doubts, and that most of all protect us against deception. Friends, we must remember that we are people of truth. We are people of righteousness. We are people of peace and good news, people of faith, people of salvation, people of God's word. This is who we are. And every day we put on this new identity to realign ourselves with God and his kingdom, to realign ourselves with who we really are and what we're really called to be and to do. And sometimes we have to put that on hourly or maybe every 5 minutes. Okay, let me put this on again. And I believe this is what devotional time is all about. When I get up in the morning, I need to realign myself with who I am and who God is. I need to read His Word. I need to listen to the Spirit. I need to put on the reality of being a child of God. And I need to do that on before all the currents of the day through email and social media and my roles and what I have going that day. And because if I don't realign myself right off the bat, I'm swept away by whatever's happening during the day. Anyone else relate to that? Or maybe partly through the day I get swept away then. But this is the next piece of this. What he ends with is answering the question, how do we keep that armor of our new identity on? How do we stay grounded in who we are in Christ? Because our days are a little bit crazy. Well, mine's boring, but maybe yours are crazy. Right. Well, he says, keep on praying in the Spirit all the time. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I love how Paul does this, right? Always, all, always, all, constantly, always, all. What do you mean, Paul? What are you talking about? Always keep on praying in the Spirit. So what he's just referring to is staying connected with and dependent on God through the Spirit with a mindset of prayer, a two-way communication that is constant. That's what he's referring to. It's not saying our prayers, which it includes that. It's not just an arrow prayer here and there. It's this constant connection with God through the Holy Spirit that keeps me alert, that keeps me aware, that allows the power of God to flow into my life so that I can withstand the schemes that come up. And always praying for each other, he says. Because we need each other. We're in this together. Now, that's a lot to learn, and it's why we need to be discipled. It's why we need people to come alongside and teach us how to live this way. Because this is the Christian life. This is life as a people of God. So, friends, God is with us. He's provided everything we need to live out our purpose. Let's protect it together. Let's live it together. Let's put His armor on each day in the form of our new identity. And I don't know what your life, your rhythm of life, of devotional life is, but I would suggest, based on what Paul is saying, you don't have time not to realign yourself with God each and every day. Because if you think you don't have time, you've been deceived. And I would even suggest that maybe you begin by just reading this passage every single morning and just be intentional about it. I'm putting on the truth. I'm putting on the righteousness. I'm right with God. And I am called to live a life of justice. I'm putting on my salvation. I'm putting on faith. I rely on you, Christ, for everything. I'm putting on the gospel of peace. I'm here to bring peace to my workplace, to school, to my friends, to my family. I'm putting on the Word of God, which speaks to me and protects me. This is who we are, friends. Let's pray for God's help to live it. Join me. God, you are so good to do all that you have done for us in grace. Lord, help us to protect and to live out what you've entrusted to us. Lord, fill us with your power as we put your armor on, as we put on who we are in Christ each and every day. And Lord, help us to encourage one another towards this end, to be your people, to live as your people, to think as your people. Because that is who we are. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.